If you're able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is from the gospel according to Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. This is the word of the Lord. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah. And still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled. Yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Oh, the king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guest, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. Well, I don't think anybody would argue with me that the world's in a mess. You know, it's a recurring theme, of course. Anytime we're talking about the Word of God and salvation and healing, and we've got to look at the world, and it is a mess. It is going to hell in a handbasket in a hurry. All kind of evil things, mean things, all kind of problems. I don't know whether it's just different news reporting or is it actually getting worse. It sure seems like it to me. Now, of course, part of the problem is that people make bad choices. And they make bad choices for all kinds of reasons. You know, there are people who, well, they don't have any education, or they've got a really poor education, or they have no moral compass. They don't read the Bible, don't go to church. Maybe they have a poor self-image. Maybe they grew up in a broken home, poor upbringing. Maybe just selfish pride. They were taught to value the wrong things. That would be part of that poor upbringing. The thing is that our decisions, no matter what they are, whether they're good or bad decisions, they all have consequence. Good consequences or bad consequences. And in this day and age, there's a lot of people making bad decisions. A lot of bad decisions, which hurt more than just the person making the decision. It hurts the people around them. Drunk driving, war, crime, poor decisions. People get hurt. And we tend to call that evil. It's just poor decisions. Of course, then there's the other thing we tend to call evil. We talk about natural disasters because a lot of that seems to be going on too. It seems like it's, I don't know, getting worse instead of better Or again, is it just the news reporting it more? I'm not sure. But there seems to be more flooding, more hurricanes, tornadoes, forest fires, mudslides, earthquakes. It's like the world is just coming apart at the seams. And we tend to call those things evil, but they're just natural disasters. But evil is afoot. Evil is afoot. You know, it's funny, when I was writing this sermon, that phrase came to my mind. It's an old phrase. Does everybody know what I mean when I say evil is afoot? It means that evil's happening. It's taking place. It's all around us. Evil is afoot. It's not that evil is afoot. Don't look at your feet. It has nothing to do with your feet, okay? But evil is afoot. It is all around us. And we hate to talk about it. You know, it says in James chapter 4, verse 1, beginning of verse 1, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." So yeah, we make a lot of poor decisions. But evil is afoot. Evil is the devil and the demons. You know the boogeyman? Satan, Beelzebub, is real and at work in this world. Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. Deceptive, mean, nasty, cruel. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Evil is afoot. Satan is alive and well. And Satan knows his time is growing short. Knows it better than we do. And he's going to take as many people with him as he can. You know, a lion is no fool, most cunning animal in the jungle, and Satan is cunning. The only thing he's wrong about is Jesus. The Bible says that Satan is the father of all lies. Evil is afoot, absolutely. That situation with John the Baptist in Mark 6, it says that Herod was protecting John. Even when he put him in prison, he was protecting him from everybody else. And it says that Herod liked to listen to John. He couldn't quite make sense of it. He was puzzled, but he liked to listen to John. See, Herod was hearing the truth. The truth was beginning to set him free. Who knows what would have happened to Herod had he kept up his relationship with John. But the scripture says that when there was an opportune time, and this is where the devil came into work, evil was afoot. Because at an opportune time, when Herod was showing off in front of all his military leaders and all the big businessmen in the area, that's when Herodias' daughter danced for him with passion, and inflamed him with lust, and he made a big boast to impress his wife and to impress all the people. Anything you want. And Satan jumped right in there. Adam and Eve had this wonderful garden, walked with God every day in the garden. They had the world. And Satan saw an opportune time. Did God really say, you shouldn't eat of that tree. I tell you, the devil is at work. Look at Job. The devil went to God and said, listen, you think a lot of Job. God says, yeah, he's a wise and righteous servant. Yeah, that's because he hasn't been tested. Let me go down and test him. God says, you can do whatever you want except kill him. Evil is afoot, and it's happening today. On top of humanity's bad choices, on top of all the natural disasters, there is a very real presence of evil in the world. We hate to talk about it because it's scary. It's the thing that goes bump in the night. And yet the Catholic Church has a whole portion of the church devoted to exorcisms. I went to seminary with a group of people who we always hung out together. And there was a young fella. He was a Jesuit priest getting his Master's of Divinity. And his calling in life, he told us, was to do exorcisms. There are people who study it and battle demons every day. And I don't feel comfortable. Even after 25 years of ministry, I have not spent as much time as I should have studying all about demonology. Because basically, we're running around unarmed, unaware. And Satan is having his way. Matthew 24 says that the love of most will grow cold in the last days. That many people will be deceived. It's the devil. You know, my sisters and brothers, the church doesn't like to talk about demonic forces. We don't like to talk about the devil being real. We want to be spiritual, but not too spiritual. We want to talk about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is nice. Oh, yeah. So nice. It's a dove, you know. Woo. And we tend to think of the devil as a mythical creature. It wears a red suit with a pointy tail and a pitchfork. Oh, and horns. And we make fun of that. And we have kids dress up as the devil for Halloween. And right now, some of you are thinking, I'm going home and hide them. Those horns I have at home in case the pastor comes to visit. But the devil's real. As real as the person sitting next to you, far more deadly. We don't talk about it enough. We are ill-equipped to deal with the devil. John the Baptist, Jesus said in Luke 7:28 that I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. And yet John was beheaded because of evil. The Apostle Paul wrote the epistles. The mighty Apostle Paul was beheaded in prison. Evil is afoot. The disciple, Stephen, stood up before a council and he preached the word of God to them, told them about Jesus. He wouldn't shut up. He wouldn't be denied. And they dragged him outside the city, stoned him to death. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Great Hall of Fame. The Great Hall of Fame tells us all about how Christians were tortured and killed down through the years. Cut in two, pulled apart by wild horses, hung, burned, killed with the sword, buried alive, and it still goes on today. Evil is afoot. Satan is tearing this world apart. Prince of the power of the air, I thus saith Bruce. Okay? I think he's using the media to do a lot of it. But a lot of people are being oppressed by demonic forces. Oppressed, pushed, deceived. A heaviness things that go bump in the night. The Bible says, don't be afraid of the one who can only destroy your body. That's the devil. The best he can do is destroy your body. Don't worry about that, because this world's not our home. These bodies are only temporary anyways. But the Bible says, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul. After having destroyed the body, he can cast your soul into hell. That's God. And if you have Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior, you do not have to fear God. Respect, obey, yes. But the devil is out there working, telling us that we have plenty of time. There's no rush. You don't have to get serious about church. You don't have to get serious about studying your Bible. Do that later. Enjoy yourself while you can, while you're young, while you've got money, while there's time, while there's places to go, while the kids are young. You just have self-fun. Don't worry about all that ministry at work. Somebody at church, somebody else will do it. And we say, yes, that's right. And the devil says, I've done my work here today. And people are deceived. Evil is afoot. Just coming to church, especially coming every now and then, will not protect you. Reading a few lines out of the Bible, saying the Lord's Prayer, will not protect you. The devil is roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Have you ever gotten really mad at somebody, whether they're a stranger or somebody you know, and what they've done has been really bad, and you've been so mad at that person, you just want your pound of flesh? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the devil's schemes. The devil that works through people to do things, deceives people. It's time for us to wake up. Evil is afoot. And if we don't take church ministry and our spiritual walk seriously, then the devil, like a roaring lion, will devour us. Sadly, a lot of people won't get this, or they'll want to ignore it because, like I said, it makes us uncomfortable to think that the devil is real. So we're just going to go about business as usual. Not going to change a thing. Come to church once in a while. Contribute here and there. Help out here and there. Should be good enough. It'll keep us safe. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Revelation chapter 3 says, I know what your deeds are. They're lukewarm. They're neither hot nor cold. So I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and God will come near to you. This world is not our home. And we've got to fight the devil tooth and nail. God loves you. And so do I.